Hello, patrons. Welcome to the Pusher here for episode 96. Fun episode. There's a lot of stuff in today's episode that I had no idea were going to happen when we started in the day. And I would say that basically started about 20 minutes into the episode. Things just started happening one after the other. It's always a lot of fun when you can't predict at all what's going to happen. Zeke, I think you have probably had the most interesting stuff occur, as well as Ramus, throughout the show. So why don't we just start there? How do you feel about the fight? I saw a lot of chatter in the chat from you. Obviously, it wasn't on the show because you didn't. It's not the time and place for it. But how did you feel about the duel, as it were?
I felt like I was. Like I was level one. Like it took, it took one round with you fighting a disadvantage to kill me.
Yeah.
At disadvantage, every fucking roll to kill me. You had to roll a six or better.
Six or better. Yeah.
And it was fucking pathetic.
Yeah.
It made me feel completely useless. Like,
I don't know if you can, though, in PvP. Like, that's such a odd thing to base your character off of.
Well, PCs are PCs are not meant to fight each other. Like, those abilities are just not. Like, there's two games.
Yeah.
It's not like Dark Souls, where you're like, PvP and PvE are functioning off the same system. It's like, somewhere in development of 5th edition, people are like, what if PCs fight each other? And somebody else was like, nah, fuck it. We don't need to think about that. It'll just never happen.
Yeah, because I can just...
Which is why it never balances out.
The thing is like a fighter can just front load the fuck out of a fight, and there's not much... Like, I was trying to think about that. Like, I'm not sure what else someone could do. Because even if, like, someone casting a spell in round one, I have a thing called Indomitable, which means I get 2 saving throws if I fail one. So, like, the likelihood of me getting, like, if you had passed that stun, I would have used Indomitable and just gotten an extra save against it. So it was very unlikely that the stun was going to hit. Which it was just a stupid, difficult fight as well.
But then why did you, as a player, challenge me to a fight that you knew you were going to win?
Because I was hoping that the idea behind it was, when I started to feign the throws, would be that is how I accomplished the goal of getting, like, our repertoire back or our trust back between the two of us. That's why I, like, feigned that final blow instead of just letting it hit you.
But you also front loaded the fight to embarrass me in front of everybody.
Yes and no. I think that it was a two-prong thing, where I was judging how you were as a fighter by, like, going full-born, and then I was also gaining trust by holding back those blows, because I know in that particular instance, like, appearances were better than actual, like, just you know, getting you to 0 HP, in a sense.
Yeah.
At least that's how I approached it.
But it's tough. It's a hard lesson to go into, like, going into a situation and kind of expecting a different outcome, and then just completely getting deflated immediately.
Right.
In front of people that were expecting, like, me to teach them something.
Right.
And boy, did I teach them something. I teach them that the way of a monk is fucking bullshit. You should pick up a sword.
Yeah, I mean, that. I guess ultimately I could have not gone so crazy in the first couple of rounds and, like, let you whittle me down, rather than just like, all right, he's at one, time to, like, miss every strike. Like, it could have been better in the sense of, like, the theatrics of it.
Well, and I rolled pretty shitty as well, but it was something I'm going to have to deal with, and something that is completely disheartening, because, like, my whole, like, character thing was like, I've developed this new fighting style, come watch, oh wait, never mind. Let's just scrap it completely.
Well, it's, I mean, it's not perfect yet. The fighting style needs some adjustment. But that's like, yeah, that's the trick, and I think it comes up in D&D a lot because the mechanics are so swingy. You just can't rely on any outcome. Like it just doesn't work that way, which is
right. And then I got taken apart by two other guys who just demolished me. And then
because they jumped you when you had like very few hit points.
You had like one HP. Yeah, you would have easily.
Well, he healed a little bit, but he had used most of his tricks in the sense in that fight. Yeah. But
yeah. And then Ramus burned them all, and
yeah, and then we got into that situation.
Well, and that's like another example of like. Oh, you went three rounds and got knocked out. Good fight. Goodbye.
Right. Yeah.
I've had a lot of situations like that too, where you have a story in your head you're going to tell and it's going to be epic. And then you go to do it. And then the dice are like, no, none of that. It's going to go completely the opposite way. Your cool idea is just out the window.
Yeah.
It sucks when that happens.
Yeah, I had that happened three characters, three shows in a row because they all died. So I'm familiar with it in that sense. But I think were put into awkward situations for sure, without a doubt. Where you're like, I think you acted it great as a character, but it was definitely an awkward position to be in as a player in both situations.
Well, and now like I was ready to. That's why. I said those things to Ramus because I was ready to scrap it.
Right.
I was completely ready to scrap it and just re-roll a character because I felt so like completely compared to you three guys, like pretty underpowered right. as far as a fight goes.
I think, go ahead. I don't mean to interrupt.
But now I'm forced to like again fight against fucking Ramus, his character. Like Caliman had to do that when he burned the fucking peasants, and now Yota has to do that when he burned two fucking monks in the middle of the goddamn temple. Like it's like fuck me. How like it's like Ramus doesn't want anyone to go with him.
Well, the other thing I think to remember is that the world doesn't care. Like the morality of the world doesn't care as much about people dying as we do. Like, there's a very good chance that if you just go to the temple priest and are like, hey, so these two assholes picked a fight with us and my friend burned them to death, that the high priest would be like, well, sucks for them, I guess. Like, too bad. Because they shouldn't have picked that fight, and that's how it goes. Like, they don't have that same, like, oh, God, people. Like, it's like, yeah, whatever. They'll just get reincarnated. They'll try to do better next time. Guess who gets to be an orc now? Those assholes.
Well, and the thing is, like, I should have fucking learned my lesson the first time. I should have learned my lesson right. and just made a fucking murder hobo.
Yeah.
It would have been more fun and the crowd would have loved it.
Yeah. Yes and no. I don't know. I'm glad that that Yota is continuing. Because I definitely think that like from Maharib's perspective as a fighter, Yota is not necessarily there at the moment, but I think is like a entity or a being. Like I still think that there's worth, but not so as a I'm fighter.
There. You're there.
I like the idea that now you're forced to find value in
other things. Yeah.
In other things. Yeah. To be like, well, he's a like, you don't understand him because he's not simple. He's not straightforward. Right. Like in your world, if he had just been a good fighter, you'd be like, okay, I get it. He's a fighter. We're both fighters. We fight.
Right.
But now you're like, oh, there's like something else going on there. And like he fights differently, but not in the way that I do. And like, yeah, I kind of like the idea that there's some change there.
Yeah. And I mean, there's a reason why I'm bringing this old man and this fucking ox back to the Moon Temple. It's to find you because I know you have sway. So I'm going to be like, hey, Yota, this man needs help or someone's going to murder him. Can you help me? And then you're going to be like,
I know a guy.
Bitch,
knows a guy.
We got to get to this bridge. Leave that motherfucker behind. We're getting out of here. So I'm curious how that's all going to go down.
Yeah, I like it.
But yeah, I could definitely see frustration throughout the, especially after the fight, which, and I'm not saying that it was misplaced at all. Like I would be fucking super frustrated as well. So that's all I was getting at and wanted to ask about.
Yeah. I don't want to whine. I'm a whiner. I am. When I don't get my way, I fucking whine like a little baby.
Hey, and stop whining.
Well, and this
something yeah, doesn't sort of go the way I want it to.
this is sort of why I put that second fight in your way, because I was like, nah, you don't get to go pout, Zeke. No. So you can't get away that easy. Which led to a really great scene. Like I love that bit with Ramus and Yoda, and the idea of like things, and I, this happens every once in a while where we get into these situations where we're like, okay, things are getting really tense, and like we take a step back and we talk about, okay, what do we as players want to prioritize? How can we get out of this? And in what way do we want to get out of it? Like, is it possible if something happens to like bring us back where these characters could understand each other? And I think that stuff is great. I think it's really cool to be able to do that as a group. And we're getting better and better at it, and faster at doing it more like seamless, right?
Yeah.
Where we're able to, in the moment, just be like, okay, hang on. T.O., what are we going to do about this? Okay, you're going to do that, and we're going to do this. We're going to play it out in character. All right, time in. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Rather than having it be a bigger thing.
I think also, too, that in the future, rather than actually having to have that discussion, I kind of just want the... Like, I kind of just wanted Dan and Zeke to just decide there internally, like, all right, I'm going to kill you. Are you good with that? Because I don't know. Like, there's some, I could see how it would be. I could tell very easily that Zeke wanted his character dead there. I hope that his character didn't die, which I'm glad he didn't. But I could tell, like, Dan as a player and as a person was, like, struggling, like, oh, God, I can't actually kill his character, can I? And then we kind of like had a conversation about it, which ultimately is probably the right thing to do. But I would have been interested in seeing like Dan just being like, all right, I guess I'm just going to kill Yota.
Like that same conversation could have gone like, no, I don't think there's any way for you to like show me that you're worth saving. Let's have a fight. And if you win, I'm fine with that. And like,
sure.
That's where it goes.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah.
That's totally, that's equally as valid. And we could very easily have, like, that's what Max did, right? Where Max was like, nope, this is going to be a fight and I'm going to run away and we're going to do this thing. And right. So it's cool seeing the like pump the brakes. How do we negotiate this? Is it like a go or a no go? And then we go from there.
Yeah. I think ultimately from my perspective, it's the like producer where it's like, no, don't fucking like discuss if you're going to want to kill him or you want to, it's just like, let it happen and let it play out.
And,
but as
and
a player,
trick,
I'm like, no, this conversation should happen. Obviously.
Well, and the trick with those sorts of things is that while we would love for them to be like fully immersive and we never talk about anything because we can all read each other's minds. Sometimes in the moment you're like, yeah, I was having a bad session. And so I was like, fuck you, fight me. And then right. You killed my character. And now I wish I hadn't done that.
Right.
Because now my character is dead.
Right. Right.
And then that's worse and harder to come back from.
Yeah.
So I think it's, I think it's good to take a minute.
Dan, for you, was there a thought where it's like, all right, I guess I'm going to kill Yota or did you move past it?
My first instinct was not to kill him, but to cast Geist on him and make him serve me, make him get me to Emix.
But it's a very Ramus thing to do.
Well, so what's funny about that is that you have access to that spell now, and if you use it on another PC, it just means you get to write a goal for them every session. Just use it on Max.
Yeah.
Use it on Max. He needs the help. There's an arc, and I mean this in the sense where there's an arc of X-Men where Iceman spends a bunch of time whining because he can't figure out how to use his powers. Everybody else is outpacing him. They're all figuring out their power.
Yeah.
And the White Queen, whose power is to like get in your head and like mess with you, she's like, stop being a whiner, and she gets into his brain and she's just like blam and uses his powers in this like crazy way. And he's like, oh God, like the problem is me. It's not that I'm underpowered. It's that I have a mental block I can't get over. And I kind of love the idea of that spell being something like that, where you're like, I command you to just be better than you are. Stop being such a loser and be good. And then having the character be like, oh God, like Ramus's mind control is making me a more effective person. And that's like anything to do with like changing a character's agency or like messing with their brain in that way. I think that stuff is so interesting because that's the stuff that is like the most intense about Magic and the most kind of fucked up. It's like when you get into someone's brain, and you're like, cool, you don't decide what you do. I decide what you do.
Yeah.
And that's, yeah, that stuff is just, what's, it's so good.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah.
Max, how was your episode? Berg didn't really do too much in the sense that it was kind of, the screen was filled with other stuff mostly.
It was good.
No, it was fine. I enjoyed, this is another episode, like I said, where what you said in the beginning, there was a lot of stuff that happened that I didn't think was going to happen. And I was okay to be like, this is more interesting. And it doesn't make sense for Berg to be in there. And plus with Berg, he's, you know, he's a man of a few words. Every now and then he gets his, you know, time to kind of talk. And it's been neat to kind of peel back the Berg onion to new characters that encounter him. I really like doing that. One, because it's fun.
Yeah.
Like you're this cool, like, you know, legend, badass or whatever, just as a player and as a character. But it's also fun for me to try to see how Berg would unpack certain things that has happened. Like the question that you posed for, you know, him and Ramus. It's interesting. And I think for the fans too, people that have been watching and following Berg's storyline for a while, to see how Berg might handle if Ramus goes over the deep end. And that also goes hand in hand and side by side with what just happened, you know, with Ramus just fucking burning people. I'm fine with it. From a very like literal standpoint and translation, it's easy to play Berg in these episodes.
it's not hard.
Right. Yeah. I had a lot of fun, in the sequence with, Maharib and Berg. Cause it, like, the questions that I was asking were general questions that, like, me as JP wanted to know, like, hey, if Ramus starts going off the deep end, like, how are you going to handle that type of stuff? So that was a lot of fun for sure. And then the other thing too, I think like the reason that after like the process for Maharib is like finding out if the people that he's journeying with are worth journeying with from like a fighting perspective. So like, if we get into it, can I like trust these other people? I think like we immediately got into it with Zeke. And next up on the list was Berg, because I've never seen Berg fight. And I think that was where that initial conversation started from in Maharib's mind. But then you said that you've encountered Mara and you've lived. So I'm like, well, I don't have to test this guy because he's encountered the worst of the worst. So that was like a test itself.
I really like, too, that the idea of what Maharib is sort of doing is building this little like community of warriors around him because he knows what's ahead of him.
Yeah.
He knows the steps this path will take him down, and he wants to be around people that he knows he can trust in the same way that his people, like we were saying, like they are built on supporting one another and built on this idea of like the sort of family unit. So it's been really cool watching Maharib like try to figure out his friends to be like, when it comes down to it, am I going to be able to trust you?
Right.
Have you got my back when I need you to?
In terms of if Ramus has been tested, I think that was one of the first things that Ramus like answered, so to speak, right off the bat, was when we were fighting around that caravan or whatever in the beginning, you just like murdered a bunch of people with your abilities.
What I think's going to be valuable to Maharib though is going to be, and maybe Maharib just doesn't think this way. Maybe he thinks more straightforward than this worldview allows, but it'll be later when it comes to like loyalty and like if the Cult of Imix is like, yes, Ramus, we can give you your soul back, but you have to do this thing for us or whatever. You know, Maharib is going to have to choose because the Cult of Imix is his enemy, right? They're aligned with the Dragons of Fire and they're bad dudes. So that I think will be the real test for Ramus, that like, yes, you can trust him in a fight, but like, and also like I'm curious about this for Dan. If Ramus gets his soul back or whatever, is he just going to go back to being a total asshole? Like, is it going to be the, like, I'm cured, I can go back to doing whatever I want, fuck you guys, worship me.
Yeah.
You know, like, will he learn this lesson? And that I think is going to be really fun playing that out.
Yeah.
Yeah. When we get there, I'll have to decide, like, has all of this changed him or is he still the same person? So once we get there and not like, go through some more trials, I think I'll have an idea. I think I have an idea in my head of what it will be like when that happens, if it happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think in some sense too, like the conversation that happened with Mahareeb and Berg today, there was a sense of loyalty gained between the two of them, so that if whatever Ramus or whatever Dan's thinking Ramus turns back into when he gets his soul, or if he gets his soul, etc., that like Berg and Mahareeb can be like, hey, stop fucking just doing whatever X, Y, Z you're doing, and can hopefully like goad you back into whatever it is, not necessarily doing right, but whatever it is that you're doing wrong in their eyes. So yeah, I'm super excited for whatever happens down the line.
Yeah, same.
Yeah. I also just want to see, I'm unbelievably excited to see the next interaction between Mahareeb and Yota. Cause like, I think within the Goliath culture, like there are non-fighters and you interact with them nonstop, and that's probably how he's going to treat Yota, but he's going to try to like not be condescending about it, but it's probably going to come across completely condescending. So,
right. Like he's moved into a different social class now, and it's not necessarily like a downward move. It's just, oh, I thought you were a fighter, but you're a sage instead, or like, I'm trying to fit you. That's a fun thing to choose, that like, where do you fit in my worldview of how people shake out? Right. And this happens all the time. This happens all the time in even like real life in modern cultures, where you're like, you're raised in one culture and you're moved to another. And then you have to try to figure out either how you fit into that new structure, or you have to repurpose that structure to fit your understanding of like the world.
Yeah.
And that's like it's a huge challenge.
Yeah.
Which is, I have an idea.
Cool. Yeah. I'm super excited for it.
Absolutely. It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. I think that, this has, it's one of those fate things. Like I was meant to find you.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Great. I'm into it. I'm super about it. Cool. Well, that's where we'll end this, this post show then. I am, as always, unbelievably excited for the next episode. So we'll see you guys. We'll see you on Tuesday, 6 o'clock Eastern. We're out of here. Until then. Bye-bye.
Bye, y'all.